I'm so much more comfortable collecting real estate than I am collecting other stuff.
Welcome to Collecting Real Estate. I am your host, Stephen Purse. In this fourth episode, I interview my co-host, Bill Hamill, on the seventh investment property of his career. This single-family construction rehab property is back in the Pine Hills neighborhood of Albany, and Bill has his first experience renting to students that wanted to party. He discusses the difficulty of being 25 years old and having to manage tenants that treat his investment property like a fraternity house. He then becomes Uncle Bill when the next tenants become a little too friendly. The key takeaways from this episode are properly screening for tenants and then how to be amicable with your tenants while keeping the relationship professional. If you like what you hear, you can follow Collecting Real Estate on Instagram at Collecting Real Estate, and you can also follow me at Steven_Purse3. As always, thank you for listening and I hope you enjoy. All right, Collecting Real Estate episode number 4, back here with Bill Hamill. Good morning, Bill.
Morning, Steven.
Which is this property number 7 for you?
Number 7 was 862 Washington Avenue in the Pine Hills neighborhood of Albany.
Back in Pine Hills.
Yeah, Pine Hills was a great neighborhood, still is. You know, we had a lot of buildings there.
You couldn't stay away. What was the date for that?
That one was August 1998. We had another opportunity for a bank foreclosure. Right off the multiple listing service and another construction rehab style loan started becoming familiar for us.
Was this a single family or multifamily?
Yeah, this was a single family.
Okay. And you construction rehab, you're getting used to that process.
Yeah, fortunately at that brokerage, Homestead Funding in Albany, you know, that construction rehab product hung around for a few years, if not, you know, 3-4 years. So finding out over time that banks and brokerages, their loan programs change, you know, as everything changes. So that product was around for 3 or 4 years and we were able to use it again on this one. But I do remember shortly after, probably a year or two down the road from now, you know, another project would come up and you're looking to use that same loan, but you're like, it went away. You don't have that anymore. So that's when you find out, you know, programs do change.
And so at that point, you were specifically looking for something to fit that loan program. Well,
we were having good luck with these distressed properties, you know, by foreclosure discounted that needed work, and that construction rehab product really customized for that, you know, getting in for very little down or no money down and sometimes making money on the project because we were the contractor. So, you know, we were able to, you know, get a loan for everything that was put into the place.
And you liked that single family style?
Yeah, it, you know, we at this point bought, actually, I think only one up till now. And it was just basically whatever opportunity came around that would fit our buying criteria. At that point, location was big. So this neighborhood, we were starting to build something up. And, you know, the two families really excited us at this point, but single family came around and it was still worth the buy, still worth the project. We developed the sweat equity as usual and put it in the portfolio, collecting real estate.
You mentioned that Pine Hills was mostly a college neighborhood. Was this another house that you just rented to a group of college students?
We did have some college students over the years. Looking back, we, you know, got into a groove over the past 10 or 15 years where it ended up being exchange students. So SUNY Albany had a pretty strong population of Asian or Indian tenants coming from abroad. And, you know, we ran for the last 10 or 15 years where, you know, we would keep a group of tenants for 3-4 years. They would stay throughout their whole education at SUNY Albany, you know, so we're able to get some long-term exchange students in there.
Is your approach to managing properties changing at all at this point now that you have more properties and it's not just you running one or two buildings?
No, we were still running the way we have, where it was still having a W-2 job for both me and my partner, Greg. And we were, you know, doing everything by ourselves from A to Z, no matter what the task. Of course, with the exception of things that we just couldn't do, you know, roofing and, you know, bigger contracting projects like that. But no, we were self-managing, doing all the work, doing the bookkeeping, you know, everything.
This sounds like it's running a little too smoothly there. There has to be something that went wrong. Is there anything you remember?
Well, this property, yeah, we had, before we were able to get the foreign exchange students, you know, over those most recent 10 or 15 years, that first few years of ownership, we went through some other type students, you know, that were very difficult to manage. So now we're still in that learning curve of renting to the right people. And now I'm remembering our last episode, you know, of getting legitimate landlord references. So this property does tell a story about that. One of our first tenants, if not the first one after that rehab, we were screening some guys and really anxious to get people into this house. Still didn't learn 100% on how important the screening was. And I believe on this one, right in front of us at the house, where we're like pretty much making the decision whether to get these guys in the house. And I'm calling their landlord reference while they're in the living room. And I'm just sitting there, and that landlord reference didn't feel right. And I went with it. I just took it for what it was worth on the phone. Good landlord reference, went with them, and they were a party house right in front of us. So it was probably for a couple months, we're watching that house closely because there was major evidence of them, you know, not taking care of it and having lots of people over. And, you know, we're now witnessing going there on Friday nights, you know, with a lot of people in the house and parties going on, and, you know, us getting involved to a certain degree. And, you know, they probably were evicted 1.5 months, 2 months after they were there. And that was a painful experience, having to just go through the frustration of these kids thumbing their nose at us as they partied hard in our house. And that was very frustrating. I hope, it's funny, as we discuss property by property, I try to prepare a bit before I talk to you. But as we're talking, that the memories come back sharper. Mm-hmm. So you know, I didn't even think of that going into this. It was a feeling. It was more of a boring house, but that one just popped up, and I'm hoping that this was the end of our learning curve on you know, the screening process.
So you didn't join them when you pulled up on a Friday night and you saw some activity in there?
Yeah, you're digging deep on this one now. So it was the grand finale on these guys was it had been going on for weeks. And, you know, then I have my buddies living with me down in Clifton Park, or, you know, the house I grew up in, I purchased from my parents. So, you know, we have three or four guys living here, and that's the talk of the house is, you know, mine and Greg's rental property. I've got some, you know, partiers in there, you know, so we strategize. What do? We go down on a Saturday morning at like 6 a.m., like four of us, we're all 25 years old or so. And you know, we knew what we were going to find. You know, you go into your house, pound on the door, you know, it was another lively Friday night, and we just have bodies laying all over the house because they partied late that night, and we woke them all up. It was an interesting Saturday morning.
They didn't have the letters in the front yard.
Oh boy, no letters in the front yard, but you might as well have. It was, I would say, 30, 40 bodies laying around that house, and the four of us came whipping through there, and it was, you know, it was us against them at this point.
It sounds like you're about 6 hours too late to the party.
Yeah, well that was the plan. We didn't want to party with them. We wanted to give them a rude awakening.
Yeah, of course. It's just an interesting dynamic because you're 25 years old at this point. You're not the old mean landlord. You're almost at a peer level with them.
No, we were pure hypocrites at that point. So we probably did had our degree of a party, that Friday night as well at my house. So, you know, we liked to enjoy ourselves. And, when we were in college, we, probably got a little too rowdy. And we certainly had the inside scoop on what they were up to, based on us still only being 25. And, you know, we're just in college a few years before that. So, you know, how dare they do that to our house, though? So, we were playing landlord at that point, and, didn't appreciate these kids doing, turning our house into the animal house.
Yeah. End of the day, you're running a business. Circling back to that tenant landlord screening call, do you think that was a fake number they gave you?
Oh yeah, that was definitely. I regretted that so badly. It was almost like we rented to these guys, and the next weekend they had the party. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't care. And at that point, when it was clear as day that. You know, they were up to just partying at this house. You know, I remember back to that call and was like, oh, why did I go with that? I knew it was bogus.
And this was your first time having to deal with a problem like this, right?
Yeah, at this level. We had, some of the tenants previously where you fight with for back rent a bit. Some tenants before that may have moved out, you know, badly, where they just leave a lot of, stuff unclean and debris behind and really don't pay much attention to their responsibilities at move out. But yeah, this one was the first one that was intentionally, doing the wrong thing, mm-hmm. the way that they were, living at this house.
So they didn't last very long after they moved out. I'm sure you had to clean the place. What happened after that?
Yeah, that was just a regroup. So, we had just put a lot of money into the house anyway. So they didn't, once they were gone and we did the cleanup, it wasn't a whole lot of damage. It's just more of a mess. So it was more of just getting in there, cleaning up what they had left behind. Probably had to, freshen up the paint, just get it back to how we had it 3 or 4 weeks, before they moved in.
Mm-hmm. Any other good stories?
Other than that, I think shortly after that one, we went to what I considered the safe approach. We had a family opportunity, which seemed, who I'd met in the neighborhood, I believe. And she had worked at Price Chopper just down the road and always asking me, if I had anything for rent, because her place wasn't, satisfactory. So I think I went that approach right after that, which was much safer as far as taking care of the house, because it was just a family that was just doing their thing. And we got to know each other rather well, probably too well, where, I tried to help them out as much as I could, and turned into Uncle Bill. And, as a landlord, you don't want to turn into Uncle Bill, because Uncle Bill means that they are going to be calling you a lot for a lot of different things. And at the time, they were nice. It was, a nice relationship, but there's where I knew where to draw the line going forward. How, all right, I'm the landlord, I'm not Uncle Bill, I don't have time, to do all of what they're asking of me, because they really were looking for a lot at that point.
That's such a good example for any property managers out there, how you had one group that was unruly and on one end of the spectrum, and then you have a family move in and you're almost getting too close with them, and you have to find that middle ground.
Yeah, you do. And now you just don't allow that to happen right off the bat. You know, you make a deal, you draw the line in the sand, and it's a certain respect for both parties, and the relationship is the relationship, landlord tenant. So it's harder when, you make the mistake of getting too close, and then they get close to you, and then you realize what a burden it is. As much as you'd like to, help people out, it just became too much. And then you have to go back and draw the line in the sand is harder, because then they're like, oh no, wow, he's not being as nice to us as he was. So that's difficult to do, when you're in your 20s and you're just learning.
Mm-hmm. Once again, it's a business.
That's it.
Going back to what I feel like was the main topic of the last episode of you having properties that are more scattered now, do you feel that effect now that you're not living in Pine Hills? Just to ask again, you're living in Clifton Park, you're managing properties all over.
Well, this one was right in that area that we were interested in. So it fit into the Albany portfolio. Mm-hmm. So at this point, we had the one that was a little bit downtown. And then property two was right in this neighborhood. Number three is right in this neighborhood. 2 Ken Street wasn't too far off. It was just across town, probably a mile. And then this one fit in rather well. So we were really starting to make our presence in that North Allen Street, Washington Avenue, Pine Hills neighborhood right outside St. Rose.
So you suggest new investors to cluster their properties?
Absolutely. That's, in the small level of economies of scale. So, just being able to, kill two birds with one stone, a lot of times taking care of business, whether it be, general maintenance, mowing grass or shoveling snow. It's nice to have the properties near each other to, eliminate some or minimize travel time. But also if you're, doing anything at the properties where you need to visit all of them, it's nice that, they would be near each other so you can take care of your business all in one neighborhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything specific that has stuck with you from this 24 years later?
I think those are the highlights for sure. This was continuing to build in Pine Hills, because in all reality, it was just the beginning. And the next property that we had purchased was right next door at 864 Washington Avenue. So it was continuing to, stack up properties right in this spot.
Is there anything you would do differently besides that one screening call? On more of a general sense.
Yeah, this, the same idea of the last discussion we had. This was a pretty good construction project when we purchased it, and I went there for the next 3 months doing the rehab work, and that's what I lived for the next 3 months. So you go from finding another property, which is the lucrative part of real estate, getting into it, and then I dive into 3 months of doing construction work, which I should have been now off and looking for other properties while I would have hired some labor to handle a lot of that construction work. But just continuing to slow my growth down by diving into the A to Z of the business without getting any additional help.
And at this point, you had no regrets about your career choice, no looking back or second thoughts on something else you wanted to do?
No way. It was building that portfolio. At this point in time, it's simple to just put it on paper, looking at that snowball effect of we you purchase these properties, especially when we're getting into these rehabbers. and you're able to say, okay, we have 30,000 equity on this property, and then we just developed 30,000 on this property as we're creating instant equity from these construction projects on each one, from just doing the project and getting it to renting. You know, we had $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in sweat equity built up, and after, you know, doing this 6, 7, 8 times, we're now seeing, wow, we've just created, you know, $120,000 or $140,000 of net worth. And, you know, that excited me to keep going.
And at this point, you're a 25-year-old with a good real estate collection. You're successful. You're doing well for yourself. What habit in particular helped you get to that point?
Once again, it was just being committed and determined. You know, I was making money at night, you know, to keep the ball rolling, being able to get loans from banks for, you know, these real estate purchases. But it was just keeping my eye on the prize. I was committed to build this portfolio. It was working, and you know, I was anxious to keep it going.
All right. Well, that's everything I have for this property. I appreciate your time. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks, Steven.
Thanks, Bill.